You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, so this is Late Lunch Without Lunch, a weekly programme predicated upon the observation that everything has a significance, and the closer you get to the dark pestle of your own most misfortunate longings, the deeper the correspondences tinkle in the mortuary, symmetry under a cemetery wall. If you're reckless enough to expose the contents and discontents of your mind on a website, as I have done on Esther Leslie's website www.militantaesthetics.co.uk, chances are that cybergliders will zip by with their casual street ballet insouciance and let slip slip some questions or requests, some of which will gradually work you into a lather. Such a foam-flecked response is festering here in the Resonance studio, ladies and gentlemen, a blobulent outgrowth of speckled speculation prompted by an electronic communique from a schoolboy in Norway called Calvin Kroch. Already, by virtue of his name, a severe Latinate North French conscience diving into the icicled mouth of a terminal Viking loch. It's not the cuffin, it's the boffin they bump you off in. Calvin Kroch is a worthy constituent of the rewritten scarscape, which rips like weasels through the isomplastic uncalculus, and whose twinkling canopy stretches like the Duke of York's broom handle between Stonehouse and Lancaster, Hillsborough and Bromley, Earshape and Eye Wurzel. Amen and omen. A mixed metaphorical schema making a counter angle to the fine dotted line between Muzak and Dieu Belong. In short, this is what the Militant Aesthetics website received on the 25th of February 2004. My name is Calvin Kroch. I'm a young Frank Zappa fan from Norway who is just starting to get into Finnegan's Wake, after getting an excellent lecture about it in school. I have read your, Mr. Watson's book, Negative Dialectics. Perhaps I understood one-tenth of what I read, but I liked it. It's informative, entertaining, and mind-boggling. Isn't that the word? I also saw Finnegan's Wake mentioned under bibliography in the complete guide to the music of Frank Zappa. What I'm dreaming of now is a book, or at least a paper, that deals with the relationship, or whatever, between Zappa and Joyce, especially Finnegan's Wake. And I must admit I was a little disappointed to see that there was no Zappological reading of James Joyce's Ulysses, as promised at the International Conference of Isomplastic Zappology. It's an interesting topic. If such a book is ever released, no matter who writes it, almost, I'll be the first in line to buy it. Sincerely, Calvin K. The only way I could deal with the postulant, pushing, seminal, seminiferous, ludicrous, crisscrossed, litter-strewn, letter-raving, literary energies unleashed by such a missile, so reminiscent of my own ominous encounter with the Wake, age 14, in my own school library, was to dedicate a Late Lunch Without to Lunch broadcast to readings from Finnegan's Wake and broadcasts of Frank Zappa guitar solos. First, however, a few thoughts on the Joyce-Zappa question. Frank Zappa was born into a period when James Joyce was still alive. Joyce died on the 13th of January 1941. Zappa was born on the 21st of December 1940. Hence their lives overlapped for 23 days, a number which often appears when your thoughts are concentrated on the wild, the pleasurable and the true. Now, I'm sometimes asked if the strange coincidences noted by my method, a handy name for which is the negative dialectics of poodle play, are articles of faith, mnemonic devices, or simply jokes. I'm still not sure. The jury, which is a terrifying dream team consisting of Danny Houston, Uli Freer, John Reese, Esther Leslie, Brendan Burton, THF Drenching, Paul Sutton, Winifred Atwell, Andrew Greenaway, Kiki Benson, Joe Lancaster, and Eleanor Crook, is still out. Walter Benjamin called such spurs to the poetic imagination constellations, and it's a useful analogy. There's no astronomer who didn't start out by recognising the plough in the night sky. But from an extraterrestrial point of view, the constellations and the names for them are arbitrary projections on random clusters. As arbitrary as my excitement with the numerological Burroughsian Mittenesque favourite, the number 23. Giordano Bruno, who originally speculated that the universe was infinite and the sun just another star, thus breaking out of medieval astrology into astronomy proper, made his living outlining world pictures to rich noblemen and courtiers. These weren't simply inaccurate versions of the diagrams at the front of your world atlas, those which show the Milky Way, the Earth's crust, the world's religions. These pictures of Giordano Bruno's were mnemonic devices, prototypes of the personal computer and the personal organizer. Science without mnemonic devices, recognition of the thinking subject, is undialectical, unteachable, non-existent, in fact. Now, Poodle Play rejects post-war surrealism as it sank into individualized art production, astrology and magic, but it still follows André Breton, and before him Karl Marx, in refusing to accept the frozen epistemology of Thomas Hobbes, when knowledge based upon the senses lost its poetic blossom and passed into the abstract experience of the geometrician. Based on Hobbesian common sense, Microsoft's Encarta Encyclopedia, the one on CD-ROM, is epistemologically challenged. It may stun with facts about everything under and above the sun, but it doesn't lead you to understand why the facts are there and why you should be interested in them. Those who dismiss the 23-day overlap between Frank Zappa and James Joyce, dismiss it as irrelevant, know nothing about the internal motivation of either. This fact would have made both of them laugh. Deprived of the fascinations which buzz about them like fireflies, facts about artists disintegrate into historical dust so dry and boring only reference books can contain them. What is the point of quantifying the qualitatively defined achievements of art? Encarta does have a reply, and one dear to the heart of Bill Gates, and the reply is historical importance, or in other words, sales figures. The Microsoft view of knowledge is boring because, like all bourgeois thought, it really only understands marketing, not the real world. Their reference works are only brought down from the bookshelves to settle disputes, like dictionaries for Scrabble players. Poodle Play doesn't doubt the need for positive fact. This 23-day overlap is a positive fact, but we decide to alert the reader to the unconscious repressions and gratifications involved in being subjected to facts. Louis Althusser did a great disservice to Marxist theory when, dimly plodding in the wake of the French Enlightenment's critique of Catholicism, he portrayed Marxism as objective science versus popular ideology. In Britain, a country where the denial of personal experience has long been the common sense of the bourgeois scientific system, Marxism should pack a shocking emphasis on the experiential and the contingent. We've been feeling this way for a long time now, and we want articulation. When facts flash from the rubble of the centuries, it's because they speak to desires that require satisfaction. Powerful mnemonics require psychoanalytical and historical investigation. The astrophysicist who can't name the constellations will not be able to explain the universe to a child under a night sky. Education delinked from the senses is abstract and authoritarian, idealist and neo-Kantian, seamless and scriptural, boring and bookish, however, true. A truth which cannot be tested by the person who's told it is an article of faith, not of science. Repression of the desirable scrambles of pleasurable thinking makes knowledge professional, unchanging, hieratic, in short, religious. Constellations matter because they ensure we recognise that knowledge is a historical product. The astronomer who says star names are arbitrary or irrelevant erases the Arab world's contribution to European knowledge and will be more susceptible to historical nonsense in debates about Israel and Palestine or Iraq. Good golly, Cheb Algol. If you write down the names Frank Zappa and James Joyce beneath each other, they line up exactly. A five-letter first name under a five-letter surname. Oddly enough, the same thing works for the names of their wives, Nora Barnacle and Gail Slopeman. Both have four-letter first names and eight-letter last names. However, though the names Frank Zappa and James Joyce fit the same letterist grid, their bohemic intimations of their syllables waft totally different aromas. James is soft. The repeated J's of James Joyce are soothing. The sounds around his name invoke amiable joy and soulful high spirits. arm is soul in French. Oi is a Jewish ejaculation used in London's East End. Frank Zappa, on the other hand, is a weird abutment of northern Germanitude, Frank rather than Francis or Francesco, and the southern Italianate. In Italy, Zappa means a primitive garden tool. Sir James Joyce is soft on the tongue, almost labial, smooth on the ear. Frank Zappa is staccato, a shock, a joke, a poke in the eye. In the 1960s, ignorant of Italian words for primitive garden implements, most pop fans thought Zappa's name was a put-on, a perverted brand-name-style misspelling of Zappa, one who zaps. Zap being a word like pow and wham, used by post-war comic strips to describe the impact of ray guns or the sound of fists meeting well-shaved chins. These contrasts demand an encounter, which is why I'm going to try reading Finnegan's Wake and playing Zappa guitar solos in quick succession. Another reason for reading some Finnegan's Wake on air is that next weekend, Esther Leslie and I will be visiting Rome to address a conference on the unconscious, organised by notable Zappologist, improvising guitarist and student of Nicholas D'Cusa and Monty Python's Flying Circus, namely Marco Morizzi. Marco has asked me to perform some pages from Finnegan's Wake for the conference. Since the book is deemed to be unreadable garbage by most commentators, it's naturally become the repository of astounding insights, a tosh which fuses together all the gleaming bent cutlery, lost metal money and broken earrings which have been flushed down the literary sewerage system or swept down gutter grills in rainstorms. The heaviest metals cram themselves together in a super tosh, which is now lodged in the severest and most prehensile S-bend in the system, the one that immediately precedes your conscious thoughts, your preconscious, or Managua, as it is known in the trade. So I'm going to practice by reading some Finnegan's Wake live on the radio, beginning at page 114. This reading is dedicated to Calvin Kroch for his impertinent missile to materialist aesthetics, and also to Jerry Fiolka, who has long insisted on connections between Zappa and the Wake. Fiolka made the connections real by simultaneously answering the phone for Barking Pumpkin, Zappa's record label in the early 90s, and leading a Finnegan's Wake reading group at the Los Angeles Public Library. If you're wondering what Jerry Fiolka looks like, find Mojo, the magazine, issue 4 from March 1994, and look at page 94. Carl Schenkel has mysteriously transported Jerry back in time, making him a 60s rather than a 90s entity, and changed the G of his Jerry to J. Nevertheless, since Fiolka's name has appeared in Mojo, he's obviously not just a figment of my imagination. As many composers have discovered, you can score the minutiae of note values all you like, but a performer's tempo is an extremely difficult thing to control. On last week's broadcast, because of my inability to predict the time-stretching, ponderous largesse of my own discourse, a guitar piece by Frank Zappa was curtailed, so I will be playing Do Not Pass Go from the 2-CD set guitar in its entirety a little later on. The doodling waste products of a hard rock soundstage, the guitar solos which Zappa released in 1988 on guitar, are the Finnegan's Wake of rock culture, a garbage heap in which bloom the unlikeliest weeds. This solo is especially ungived, like a mimsy borogrove swapping its critical rubber bands with a neighbour, plucking some floss, and then finding funky beats in the random gravel. Another point. In addition to the original sand, pounce powder, drunkard paper or soft rag used, any vet or inhanger in our sot social can see the scene for see himself. A wee stofty odd room, the cheery spluttered on the one carrig, a darker desheen of ooze from Dalbania, any god's quantity of raki, a Portugal and some book setting out on the sofa. You remember the sort of softball sucker Motru used to tell us when we were all birria beers or nippies and messes. It has acquired accretions of terricious matter whilst loitering in the past. And sometimes you need to turn off the ventilation because it makes too much noise. The tea time stained terminal, say not the tag mama or our show's a failure, is a cosy little brown study all to oneself. And whether it be thumbprint, maid mark, or just a portrait of the artless, its importance in establishing the identities in the writer complexus, for if the hand was one, the minds of active and agitated were more than so, will be best appreciated by never forgetting that both before and after the Battle of the Boyne, it was a habit not to sign letters always. Tip. And it is surely a lesser ignorance to write a word with every consonant too few than to add all too many. The end? Say it with missiles, then, and thus arabesque the page. You have your cup of scolding souchong, your taper's waxen drop, your cat's paw, the clove or coffin nail you chewed or champed as you worded it, your lark in clear air. So why, pray, sign anything, as long as every word, letter, pen stroke, paper space is a perfect signature of its own. A true friend is known much more easily and better into the bargain by his personal touch, habits of full or undress, movements, response to appeals for charity, than by his footwear, say. And speaking anent Tiberius and other incestuous salacities among gerontophils, a word of warning about the tenderloin passion hinted at. Some soft-nosed peruser might mayhem take it up erogenously as the usual case of spoons, prostituta in herba, plus dinky pinks deliberately somersaulting off her bisex cycle, as the main entrance of curate's perpetual soutane suit, with a one to see and a woe who picks her up as gingerly as any barbearer would to feel whereupon the virgin was most hurt and nicely asking, why have you been so grace a mauling, and where were you chased, me child? Be who, father potential? And so wider, but we grisly old psychos who have done our unsmiling bit on Alice's when they were young and easily freudened, in the penumbra of the procuring room, and what oracular compression we have had to apply to them, could, did we care to sell our fee-bought silence in camera, tell our very moist nostril one that father, in such vergated contexts, is not always that undemonstrative relative, often held up to our contumacy, who settles our hash bill for us, and what an innocent all-abroad's adverb such as Michaelly looks like can be suggestive of under the pudendoscope, and finally, what a neurasthene nympholept endocrine pineal typus of inverted parentage with a prepossessing drama present in a past and a priapic urge for congress with agnates before cognates fundamentally is feeling for under her lubricitous meiosis when she refers with liking to some feeler she fancies face. And, we could. Yet what need to say? 'Tis as human a little story as paper could well carry. In effect, as sing-sing so Salaman, sue-suing to swit victuals, while as unbluffling blurtu brusque blunt as an Ezra, the cat's meter, the meter's cat's wife, the meter's cat's wife's half better, the meter's cat's wife's half better's meter, and so back to our horses. We also know what we have perused from the pages of I Was a General, that shouting up of Bolshevism by Schottenboom, that Father Michael about this red time of the White Terror equals the old regime, and Margaret is the social revolution, while cakes means the party funds, and dear thank you signifies national gratitude. In fine, we have heard, as it happened, of Spartacus intercellular. We're not cork-nornered yet, dead hand. We can recall with volunteers the froggy Jew, and sweeter far to now we stinks in Dumble's fair city, ere one more year is o'er. We turned our coast to the good gay tunes. When from down swords the sea merged the old oath guns, and answer made the bold old Dwyer. But, est modest in verbos, let a prostitute be, whoso stands before a door, and winks or parks herself in the fornix near a moccasin wall, sin, 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 and the curate one who brings strong waters, gin, 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 but also, and dinna forget, that there is many a sleeps between summit homes first and more in Ausland's last, and that the beautiful presence of waiting cates will until life's be more than enough to make any milk Mike in the language of sweet tarts punch hell's hate into his twin Nicky, and that Maggie's tea, or your majesty, if heard as a boost from a born gentleman, is. For if the lingo gasp between the mouths of wicker church wardens and metaphysicians in the row and advocatos... Sorry, I'll try that again. For if the lingo gasp between kick sheets, however basically English, were to be preached from the mouths of wicker church wardens and metaphysicians in row and advocatos, all voyos, demi-voyels, lungo oaths, lesbiels, dentels, gutter howls and furts, where would their practice be, or where the human race itself were the Pythagorean sesquipedalia of the panistimonium, however apically volapuki, grunted and gromwelled, Ichabod, Habakkuk, Oponoff, Ugamog, Hapaxel, Gomenon, pff, over country styles, behind slated dwelling houses, down blind lanes, or when all fruit fails, under some sacking left on a coarse cart.
Oh,
so hath been love, tis, and will be, till weirs and tears and ages. Thief us the night, steal with the air, shawl thine Alephis mine. Hear, O hear, insult the fair. Traitor, bad hearer, brave. The lightning look, the birding cry, awe from the grave, ever flowing on the times. Foia aguzaria, Jordan water, now godson shine on Mende's daughter. A good clap afore marriage, a bad wake, tell hell's well. Such is manor wife's lot of lose and win again, like he's grown whiskers on whose chin again. She plucketed them out, but they grown in again. So what are you going to do about it? Oh dear. If Junes she saved, aho, and if Eulone he proved, the old Stoliolum. From Cui Cui Canet to Mishmish Chalet, and a Jambi Baptiste to a Brulo Brulo. It is told in sounds, in utter that, in sign so adds to, in universal, in polyglottal, in each auxiliary neutral idiom, sordomutics, florilingua, shelter focal, flay flutter, a conscubane, a prose to toot, strass Arab, air purse, and any thong athol. Since nosy Nanette trip palmy wise with hi-ho Harry, there's a spurt fire turf a kind of kindling, when oft as the south-south blows her peaties up, and a clay pot wet for thee, my cities, and talker-talker tell Tibbs has eve. And what though, revelous life proving aye the death of Ronald's is, when wind-power wine has bucked the kick on poor one man, biliousness has been biliousness during millions of millennials, and our mixed racings have been giving two hoots or three jeers for the grapevine and brew, and Peter's in New Amsterdam, and Powell is where the pools go, and rum smelt his end for him, and he dined off sooth American. It would give one the friar, even were one a normal kettle liquor. This old world epistola of their weatherings and their marryings and their buryings and their natural selections has combled, tumbled down to us first and made it all ours like an old cup on tay, as I was hot in Miss Souser. Aha! And as you was culled in your duchy hovel, ho ho, she told a tale or her tune, hoo hoo. Now, Capnemancian infusionism may both fit as tight as two trivets, but while we are in our wee free state, holding to that pre-statute in our charter, may have our irremovable doubts as to the whole sense of the lot, the interpretation of any phrase in the whole, The meaning of every word of a phrase so far deciphered out of it, however unfettered our Irish daily independence, we must vaunt no idle dubiosity as to its genuine authorship and holus bolus authoritativeness. And let us bring thee cease to beakerings on that clink, Olman Bottler. On the face of it, to vault back to our desultory horses, and for your rough-shod mind, baffle-loss bull, the affair is a thing once for all done, and there you are somewhere and finished in a certain time, be it a day or a year, or even supposing it should eventually turn out to be a serial number of goodness gracious alone knows how many days or years. Anyhow, somehow and somewhere, before the book flood or after her ebb, somebody mentioned by name in his telephone directory, Coccolianus or Gallotaurus, wrote it all down, and there you are, full stop. Oh, undoubtedly, yes, and very potably so. But one who deeper thinks will always bear in the back buckus of his mind that this downright there you are and there it is only all in his eye. Why? Because, sofa in Babel, if it goes to that, and dormer window gossip will cry it from the housetops, no surelier than the writing on the wall will hew it to the mod of men that mote in the main street, every person, place and thing in the chaosmos of Allah anyway, connected with the gobbledy-dump Turkery, was moving and changing every part of the time. The travelling inkhorn, possibly pot, the hair and turtle pen and paper, the continually more and less intermisunderstanding minds of the anti-collaborators. As time went on, as it will, variously inflected, differently pronounced, otherwise spelled, changeably meaning, vocable, script signs. No, so halt me, Petto, it is not a miseffectual, wiasinathanous riot of blots and blurs and bars and balls and hoops and wriggles and juxtaposed jottings linked by spurts of speed. It only looks as like it as damn it. And sure, we ought really to rest thankful that at this delightful hour of dungflies dawning, we have even a written on with dried ink scrap of paper at all to show for ourselves, tear it or leaf it. And we are lofted to ourselves as a soul-fisher when he let the cat out of the bout. After all that we lost and plundered of it, even to the hidmost coinings of the earth. And all it has gone through, and by all means, after a good ground kiss to Terra Cussa, and for war's luck our left-offs flung over our home homoplate, cling to it as with drowning hands, hoping against hope all the while that, by the light of philosophy, and may she never forsage us, things will begin to clear up a bit, one way or another, within the next quarrel of an hour, and be hanged to them as 10 to 1 they will too please the pigs, as they ought to categorically, as, strictly between ourselves, there is a limit to all things, so this will never do. With that farm froze foul flare for that flay fell foxfutor, the calamites calamitas calling for calamitous calamitants, Who that scrutinising marvels at those indignant whip-loop lashes? Those so prudently bolted or blocked rounds? The touching reminiscence of an incomplete trail or drop final? A round thousand whirligig glorioles, prefaced by, alas, now illegible airy plume flights, all Tiberiously ambi-embellishing the initials majuscule of Earwicker, the meant-to-be baffling Chrismon trilithon sign, finally called after some his-hes hesitancy heck, which moved contra-watchwise, represents his title in sigla as a smaller bong, fontly called following a certain change of state or grace of nature, alp or delta, when single, stands for or tautologically stands beside the consort. The steady monologue of the interiors, the pardonable confusion, for which some blame the cudgel and more blame the soot, but unthanks to which the peas with their caps awry are quite as often as not taken for cues with their tails in their oar, are quite as often as not taken for pews with their tails in their mouths. Thence your Christopher Columbus, hence our cat Presbyterians. The curt, witty-watty dashes, never quite just right at the trim, trite truth letter, the sudden spluttered petulance of some capitalised middle, a word as cunningly hidden in its maze of confused drapery as a field mouse in a nest of coloured ribbons. That absurdly bull-footed bee, declaring with an even plainer dump show than does the mute commoner with us how hard a thing it is to mup a gentleman, and look at this pre-nominal fun-for-all, engraved and retouched and edge-wiped and puddin-padded, very like a whale's egg fast with pemmican, as were its sentence to be nuzzled over a full trillion times for ever and a night till his noddles sink or swim by that ideal reader suffering from an ideal insomnia. For the last hour, you've been listening to Frank Zappa play guitar mainly from the Guitar album. The tracks were Do Not Try This at Home, Do Not Pass Go, Is That All There Is, When No One Was No One, But Who Was Fulcanelli, and there was also And G.O.A., that was the last one you just heard there. There was also While You Were Out from Shut Up and Play Your Guitar from 1981, and Junior Mintz Boogie, a 7-inch single from 1971. You're also listening to me, Ben Watson, reading Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce from page 114 onwards. Incidentally, it doesn't matter which edition of The Wake you use, the pagination is always the same, so if you want to look up what I was reading, just find page 114. This is well worth doing. There is more in there than you can get from hearing it just the once. I've been reading Finnegan's Wake both silently and out loud since 1970, and as you heard, still haven't quite got my tongue to the very bottom of it. That's all we've got time for on Late Lunch with Out to Lunch. See you next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Goodbye.
You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. Now we have a very special feast brought to us from Kunstradio in Austria. It's a piece called Violin Factory by John Rose. And it's a bounce down of a two-hour mixed media performance. So you will hear an audio version of this performance. And it is based around a violin factory in the People's Republic of China. Lots and lots of artists have contributed to this, and it was broadcast live in Austria and in Vancouver in 1999. I'll give you a few more details about the whole performance after it's been played. Here we go.